It's great to be in the house of the Lord. We missed something a few weeks back, December 16th. There's a couple here that celebrated 50 years of marriage by the grace of God, Butch and Donna Kidd. Praise the Lord. Want to make a note on the note that Pastor West made. He's been teaching through the Gospel of John, and it's been tremendous. And we would encourage you, this next topic he's taken, you can get in on the last part of the Gospel of John, and it's informative, it's solid doctrine, it's great teaching. But to this study of the security of the believer, you will not want to miss that. And so get here at 10 o'clock, well, 5-2, slip in. You're going to hear some tremendous teaching. I want to encourage you with that. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. That's where we'll be this morning. Again, we're thrilled to have you guys here today. You know, I probably won't see most of you for a year, right? Next year? But praise God for 2017. You know, all the ups and downs. God's done a tremendous work in many lives, and for that we give Him praise. We found Him to be faithful again. Can you guys believe that? Who found Him to be faithful again. Praise the Lord. Let's read this, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, and then we'll pray. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Loving Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is for us to assemble today. Thank you for a warm building. Thank you for fellowship, surrounded by the fact that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for sending Him. We thank you that He came. Thank you that He was willing to go to that awful cross, to take upon Himself all the sin of humanity for all time. And we remember what He did there, and we're humbled by that. But too, Father, we note that that's not the end of the story. He rose again the third day in triumph. And Father, we remember too, that's not the end of the story. He's coming again. And so we remember that today as well. And our hearts are comforted. We are encouraged with that thought. Fathers, we've come together. We don't come together as those who have it all together to show off some self-righteousness and to say that, hey, I'm somebody because I stepped in a building. No, we come together as sinners in need of your help and grace, and we're somebody because of what you've done for us through Jesus Christ and your evaluation, your significance you've placed on us. We praise you for saving us, allowing us to know you and to love you. Father, we've all had struggles in this past week, in this past year, in this past month, and many even today. And there are hearts, Father, today that are before you that are broken, that are struggling, that are crushed. They need a word from you today, Father. I pray you'll give it. Lift them up. For someone that may be here today that cannot answer the question, if I died today, I know I would go to heaven. Would you please help them with that as well? Thank you for this gospel that you've given us that we can know, we can receive, and we can be born again. Thank you that you're interested in people that are a mess, people that are great sinners. Thank you for that. Bless the teaching and preaching of your word today, Father. Help me as I proclaim, both the listener and myself as we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. It's very difficult to accurately predict what tomorrow will bring. That's tough to do. you know, I was thinking, will there be a great revival? And been praying for that in 2017. God didn't grant that. Maybe 2018, there'll be a nationwide revival. I don't know if that'll happen or not. I'm praying about it. You know, we don't know what 2018 will be. Maybe the U.S. will be involved in a major conflict, a major war. Maybe we're going to see that in Israel. Who knows? Maybe there'll be a major terrorist attack. Not sure. It's hard for us to know these things. As a matter of fact, we don't know. We really don't know what tomorrow will bring or what this next year will bring. But there is something coming. There's something coming, something that's so big, every nation will feel it. Every family will be impacted by it. And every believer in Christ will experience it. There's something coming. When it's going to occur, one cannot know. But we can be sure of this, it will happen. There'll be a day when that which God has long promised becomes reality. It becomes our experience. It'll be something that we no longer look forward to, but something we look back upon. You know, we were not there for the birth of Christ, but we just celebrated that, the advent of the Savior. It was something that was promised about almost 5,000 years ago. You know, when Jesus stepped into when he was born and stepped into the body of a person that day, when he was born, that was a promise that had been about 3,000 years in the making. Back to Adam and Eve, Genesis 3:15, the promise of a Redeemer, it was fulfilled in Bethlehem. Nothing could stop it. It was coming, and it happened. Now we look back on it. But there will be a day when we no longer look forward to the rapture. It's been about 2,000 years since the promise to the bride of Christ that our Savior is coming again, and nothing will stop it. But the expectation of the rapture, it should be a motivating factor for us, for God's people, to live righteous lives, listen, with an urgency to win the lost. It should bring us joy and comfort to think about it. Paul made mention of this event. By the way, what we have here in 1 Thessalonians 4 is the main text for the teaching. Now, there's many other texts, but as the Bible commentary, a Bible Knowledge Commentary says, this is a classic passage in the Bible on the rapture of the church. And there's a couple things I'd like to point out to you in this text. The first is, because it's speaking really of the rapture, the first is it speaks to the comfort of that day. It speaks to the comfort of that day. Notice verse 13. Let's read it again. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. This group of believers Paul's writing to, for the most part, they're newer believers. And so he's made a number of mentions about this particular event. If you look back in chapter 1 at verse 10, we see it there, to wait for his son from heaven, chapter 1, verse 10. So I'm just going to build you up to what Paul's saying here. To wait for his son from heaven, who he raised from the dead. That's Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come. Paul's saying there's expectation here. We look for him. We look for him. And again, I would ask you to look at chapter 2, verse 19. For who is our hope, or joy, or crown, or exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 13. So that he may establish your hearts without blame and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Paul's just touched on this with those believers there at Thessalonica. Now he's going to expand on that teaching. But what he says here is, I want you to be informed. And notice chapter 4, verse 13. He says, I do not want you to be uninformed. So he's saying this, I want you to be informed. There are too many Christians today. Too many Christians that have no understanding of the next great event on God's prophetic calendar. It is this. His son is going to step out of heaven. He will rescue. He will rapture. He will catch up the body of Christ, his bride. That's the next big event. There was a time when God's people could say, the next big event is the birth of the Savior. Nothing, no one could stop that event, and nothing or no one can stop this event. So this is the next one. This is, for us to be ignorant about this or uninformed, it's really unfortunate. We don't need to be. We have so much information at our fingertips today, more than the Church of Thessalonica had. We have the whole of the Scripture. You can search it out and find good, solid biblical teaching that can help you to grow. Thessalonica Church didn't have all that. They were relying on this letter from Paul and his being with them. And so that's how they plugged in. But we have much more today. And he's saying here, he says, I don't want you to be informed, brethren, about those who are asleep. And that word asleep, he's really talking about those who have passed on, those who have died in Christ. Some have taken that phrase to mean soul sleep. I believe it's a wrong approach. I'll give you a couple of reasons for that. The first, it was a common phrase in the New Testament era that referred to death, that someone had died. They were seen as those who are asleep. It doesn't mean someone in the pew next to you, maybe in further along in the sermon that are deep in prayer with their eyes closed. That's not what this is talking about. I want to just mention a couple of reasons why I don't believe this is soul sleep. First, Jesus didn't believe in soul sleep. Remember what he said to the thief on the cross? Today, what? You will be with me in paradise. There's no room for soul sleep there. So I would just mention that. A couple other texts, too, that I want to get to here. 2 Corinthians 5:8, very common one we refer to. Matter of fact, there's hardly a funeral that I don't mention this in, where we've got someone that we know is a Christian. We are of good courage, I say, prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. That's how the Apostle Paul saw the person that died, absent from the body, the soul leaves the body, immediately present with the Lord. Philippians 1:23. This is how, again, by the Spirit of God, Paul says, I'm hard-pressed with both directions. He's talking about passing on, being with the Lord, or staying on to be used of God with the church in Philippi. He says, I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. Why? Because that is very much better. He just saw death. He saw death as the door that opens for the believer to step into glory. 1 Thessalonians 5:10, who died for us, speaking of Jesus, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. There are some others as well. Those are just a few. But death for the body is like sleep. It, the body, will one day be resurrected to a new and glorious body, reunited with the soul which has gone on to be with the Lord. Be informed. I want you to be informed. That's what he's saying. I want you to know about this. And you and I as believers ought to be able to have some understanding here about what is the next event on God's prophetic calendar. He also wanted them to be transformed. He wanted them, he speaks of the comfort of that day. He says, be informed and be transformed. We'll get to more of the teaching here of how this, I believe, transforms this whole idea of someone dying in Christ. And he mentions here a couple things that I think that are noteworthy. He says about, I don't want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Now, he hasn't said that you are not to grieve about a loved one who has gone on to be with the Lord. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it's different for us. We grieve. And you know, as a church body in the last year and a half, 2 years, we've experienced this a lot, haven't we? Bark River is being pretty well represented in heaven right now. We've had those who are just a wonderful, who've had a wonderful ministries and impact in this local body, families, community, that have now gone on to be with the Lord. And did we grieve? Absolutely. Absolutely we do. But it's tempered here. It's not as those who have no hope. Now listen, if you have a loved one who dies without Christ, there's a deep grief there. I'll tell you that. That's an awful, awful grief. Because it's a grief that is come along because there is no hope. He mentions this here. He says, as do the rest who have no hope. So you need to know that there are those who die who have no hope. Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, there is no hope. It's an eternity without him. And so he's saying here, listen, yeah, we grieve. We don't grieve without hope. We have hope. And he's going to get to more of that in a minute. So he says here, be transformed. And by the way, the teaching, this doctrine will transform our thinking and our living. So he says, speaks of the comfort of that day. Those two words, grief and hope, they're really contrasted here in this verse. And if there's a hopeless grief for you, that can all be changed by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And then you can enter into the family of God through faith. And I'll tell you what, it's a totally different way to look at death, because that's a reality. You know, 100% of you here today, unless grace comes, what's going to happen to you? Not today, but someday. Right? Get that right, right? You're going to die. You're going to die. I will die. Somebody's going to do my funeral someday. See, that's reality here. So, you know, let's get this right from the get-go. Do you know Christ? Have you ever come to the point in your life where you not know about him, that he is the Savior of the world, but he's my Savior? I've placed all my faith in him alone for salvation. We'd encourage you to move that way today, to invite him into your life, to accept him as your Savior. So he says here about the comfort of the day. Then he talks about the recipients of that day. Okay, now you are in this text if you're in Christ. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel. Verse 14, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. So he's speaking of the recipients of that day, and they are believers. The first part of that, verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, who are the people who believe that Jesus died and rose again? They are those in Christ. They are those who've come to a point of faith in him. They've understood he's not just the Savior of the world. He came for me. My sin was placed on him. We remember Galatians 2:20, he loved me and gave himself up for me. So the apostle says, he came for me. Paul's making reference to individuals whose faith is in Jesus Christ. They see him as more than just a Savior. He's my Savior. I know him. And Paul states that if we believe he died and rose again, he's placing before this church the gospel they were so familiar with. I'm going to take you back there. Just something he said to them. Where they themselves, he's speaking of what's happened to them now that they've come to faith in Christ and how others are seeing them. They themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you. How you turned to God from idols. That's called repentance, friend. They were believing something about those idols. That was their God. That's where their hope was. They turned, they took their faith and put it on Jesus Christ. They turned from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Do you know there's a wrath to come for those who are not in Christ? A very sobering truth. If you know Christ, you've been rescued from that. You're the beloved of God, especially loved, his children. So he says it's going to be believers on that day. That's who that's going to be. See, Jesus rescued them. Remember this? Last week we talked about this. A Savior came to do what? None of you guys remember last week, do you? Let's try it again. A Savior came to do what? Save. A Savior saves. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior. That's who God sent. A Savior to save. And those people in Thessalonica who came to faith in him, they realize he came for me. God has sent a Savior. They put their faith in him, the one who alone can save. And they're experiencing the reality of living with him and having a Savior live in them. Death lost its grip that first resurrection morning. God sent a Savior. But that death lost its grip when Jesus rose from the grave. You know, the empty tomb evidences the fact of his victory for the whole world. And we say around here, he's risen. It's the Father's amen. That resurrection is a Father's amen to our Lord's words from the cross. It is finished. It's the Father's amen to that. He propitiated God that day. In this text, he's identified as Jesus, which means Savior. God, which means he is deity. And that's who he is. He's not just a man. He's not just a prophet. He's not just an amazing teacher. He's God in the flesh. Now, he's also identified here as Lord, which means he's sovereign ruler over all. He has all things under his control. We live in a world that looks like chaos. But God has it all under control, and our Lord is that. He's Lord. And Christ, verse 16, means the promised one. So he's speaking of believers. He's also speaking of believers in heaven here. Look at verse 14 again. Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. There's a story of a pastor who went to a man who had lost his wife, and he said to this man, I'm sorry that you've lost your wife. And this man replied, I haven't lost her. I know exactly where she's at. She's in heaven. What's the Apostle Paul say here about those who have died? They're with God there. Believers in heaven. There are two facts to note at the end of verse 14. The first is this. Those in Christ right now are where? In heaven. Right now. Right now. I have grandparents up there. We have brothers and sisters there. Can't wait to see them, right? And it's true, is it not? We're right on their tail soon, huh? And maybe today, if Christ would come, if the rapture would take place, we'll meet up with them. But note that. It says here, even so, God will bring with him, with Jesus, those who have fallen asleep in him. And God's word is clear to this point. When someone in Christ dies, they're immediately ushered into glory. If there was soul sleep, what would you do with those who have recently died? And how would Jesus be able to bring back some with him? Where do you close that gap? There's going to be somebody left behind. And in Christ, no one is left behind. Okay? So there's believers in heaven. I love what Jesus said in John 11 here. Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. There's life there. Life is sustained in Christ. You remember by the way, this is a great text to think about. Some people will ask me, well, you know, if your soul goes to be with the Lord, what's that look like? Do you know anybody? Can you be known? Here we have a couple Old Testament saints. And Jesus goes up on a high mountain in Matthew 17. He takes with him, James, Peter, and John. And what he does there is he reveals more of himself, more of his glory than they've ever seen. It's called the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is transfigured before them. He let more of his glory shine that day for them to see than he had shown. And there's a couple people there. By the way, our God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Those who die in Christ go immediately to be with him. Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Now, how they knew, was it that Jesus had referenced Moses and Elijah? But the disciples saw them, heard them, they were alive. I believe that's exactly what's going on in heaven today. You have, and you could look at Revelation 6 as well, but where you have those martyred during the tribulation. There are souls, it speaks of, under the throne, and they are speaking, they're wearing robes of white. I don't know exactly how this happens, but it appears to me very clearly that we have some kind of a body. We can speak. We can know. You could even open up the book of Revelation where you have the praise and so forth around the throne in chapter 4 and 5. Anyway, we have, I believe, bodies that even when we come back, we've got something there. So, but there are believers here on earth, believers in heaven. And that is, those that are the recipients of that day are those in Christ. Here's a blueprint of the day, verses 15 to 17. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord. Here's the blueprint of that day, okay? Let's just kind of lay it out. It begins with a reunion here. Look at verse 15. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. We'll meet up with them. There's a reunion that day. These two groups, believers on earth, believers in heaven. So you have those on earth. Paul talks about we here. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together. Verse 16, he descends, we're caught up together. Verse 17, I should say, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. So you have the two groups. You have those in heaven, you have those on earth. By the way, those in heaven, I believe God sees us as one family. I love this expression from Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Now, I will say to you, there are folks that believe that those in heaven can look down and see us and so forth. I don't see that in Scripture. I don't believe that's the case. It certainly wouldn't be heaven for them if they could. And what all could they see? We won't answer that question, right? I don't believe that's it. But I believe we're one family. We're one family in heaven and on earth. So you have this reunion. This will be the biggest family reunion we've ever had. And we look forward to that. By the way, he's going to make all things new. You know, we're all going to get along up there. You know, no one will say a cross word to you up there. No one will. You'll never have an issue with anyone. We'll be changed. It certainly will be glory. There's that old saying, right? You remember it? Oh, to live below with saints we know. No, how's that go? I didn't write it down. To live above with saints we love, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, that's another story. So it will be changed. We will have perfect relationship, but we're one there. And there's a Savior there. We will see Him. We will see Him. Look at verse 16. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. We'll see Jesus. We'll see Him, the one we've served, the one we've proclaimed, the one we've loved, the one we have longed for. We will see Him. Oh, the one who is, no one can resist His command, the one who said, "Peace, be still." The one who called Lazarus back from the grave. The one who holds all things together by His power. We will see Him. We will see Him. So you have in verse 16, the Lord Himself. He doesn't send an angel for this. He says, "I'm coming. I'm coming to get my bride." He'll descend from heaven with a shout. I'm not sure what this shout will be. Will it be a shout from Jesus to the bodies of believers to come forth? By the way, the one who's made us, the one who holds all things together by the word of His power, the one who created this world and universe is capable, more than capable, of taking any body in any shape and making it new. He will do that. So there'll be a shout. Again, nothing can resist His command. And then you have a archangel voice. The only archangel we know in Scripture is Michael. Doesn't mean that's the only one there is. And we're not sure which angel it will be. But there, you'll see again, and the Lord Himself descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet of God. And there's that trumpet blast. One of my friends used to have a bumper sticker on his vehicle that says, "When the last trumpet sounds, I'm out of here." And that will be true. That will be true. Listen, it's gonna be quick. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." So there is this trumpet blast. You have a resurrection. Those bodies in the grave will come to life, united with soul in the air. And then you have, in verse 17, it speaks of the catching away of those who remain as well. Those today, let's say if Christ came today, you'd have those dead in Christ would rise first. Then verse 17, we who are alive remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we're going. We're going. This is the next great event on God's prophetic calendar. And it will happen. So there's a rapture, a catching away of the body of Christ. We term this rapture. The word rapture comes from the Latin translation of the word catch up. In Latin, it's rapturo. And then there's a reality here. We will be with the Lord forever. We will be with Him. Finally, you'll have those, you've probably seen those in jetpacks who try to fly, but we're going. We're going in the air. And if you're afraid of flying, I don't think it matters that day. But we're going. We're going. And we're going to be together. And this great reunion will be there. By the way, this precedes the great tribulation. After the rapture, immediately the tribulation begins. You've got 7 years of that, 3.5 years of peace, and then 3.5 years of great tribulation. And that precedes the 1,000-year reign of Christ and finally eternity as well. But this is reality. And then it finishes with the admonition of that day. So, okay, let's take away here. What's Paul say? What's the Spirit have to say about this teaching? Therefore, what? Comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort. How? Well, the text speaks specifically concerning those who experienced the loss by way of death of a brother or sister in Christ. They're with the Lord. Comfort. Take comfort with that. Believe it. And we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. We say, you know, good for them. Praise God. They're in His presence. And by the way, this isn't just, a hope so or something that we just kind of thrown out there. No, we can be assured this is the word of the Lord. Paul mentions that earlier here. Why don't you be informed? You know, grieve. Talks about the word of the Lord here. Verse 15, this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that which is sure and true. So we have this comfort. We can be assured that it's a moment in time. We say so long, we don't say goodbye. We can say, we'll see you again. We'll see you again. I want to finish with this, though, as well. Lastly, each of us will experience this event. I had my granddaughter with me there, and we take turns, at least I do, holding the kids while we sing. And I get very warm over here while we're doing that, trying to hold them up. We're singing Glorious Day. I said to my granddaughter, Jesus is going to come again one day. Friends, we don't know exactly what the future looks like. But if you're in Christ, we're going up. We're going to be together that day. This is going to happen. Praise the Lord. By the way, I need to say something. You guys have probably all seen those movies about Left Behind or whatever they are. You remember when someone gets raptured? How do we know they're raptured? I got a pile of clothes there. I don't know who started that. Anyway, I don't think that's necessarily what it is. So it's going to be perfect and glorious, okay? Don't laugh at me. I won't laugh at you. We'll go up, and if you don't believe it, we'll get it straightened out on the way up too, right? Here we are. Praise God. We'll see Jesus that day, though. We'll see Him that day. So a couple takeaways for you here, okay? be comforted. The God we trust keeps his word. And this brings life. We live in life and death, right? I have seen here, we've done a funeral and had a birth in the same week, a couple days apart. That's life. That's life. We may try to put, you know, the fact is one day we're going to step into glory. But stand, it's good. He's got it. He's going to take you across, and that will be the best day of your life. I don't know. Okay, so what would you want? Would you want to die and experience the whole thing, or do you want to stay here and get caught up? I don't know. I don't know what I want. But we're going to be there, and we'll be together, and God will keep his word. So be comforted. Let this just influence every part of your life. Yeah, and you're just putting down tent stakes. That's all this is. We're just passing through, laboring for him. Be comforted. Secondly, I want you to be motivated. Be motivated. You know what? 2017's come to an end real close. 2018, somebody is going to preach a sermon on the resurrection, on the rapture, and it'll be the last sermon preached on the rapture. You know that? They will. Don't know when it will be, but it's going to happen. And when it happens, those in Christ, will experience it. There are people that are not in Christ that need to know there's a God in heaven who loves them to the extent that he would pour out his wrath on his perfect son, something sinners deserved, placed it on his son, who would die in their place, rise again, and who, if they will place their faith on him, he will give eternal life to. They need to know that. This isn't about coming together as people who have, well, we've worked real hard this week to be good. No, we've come together as sinners in need of a Savior, and we can't live up to God's holy standard. We come together not to earn a merit, not to that God would put grace on us in some way. We come together undeserving of that which he gives. And God has that gift for everyone. He's not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. This is what Paul did about this thought. I'm saying be motivated, okay? You know what he did? He's writing a letter to believers. You know why there are believers in Thessalonica? Because of this, according to Paul's custom, he went to them for three Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that what? Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus, whom I proclaiming to you, he's the Messiah. He's the Christ. And people got saved. You know, God has put people in your life and my life that need to hear what God has done for you. That's all it's about. Paul said, this is what I... Paul knew this teaching. He said, I want to tell you something it does for me. I want to win people. I want to win people. I want to win people. So two things there. Be comforted. Be motivated. Take that with you into the new year, huh? What do you think? Maybe 2018? Maybe, huh? I almost descended before I ascended, right? Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for saving sinners like we are. We're not perfect, not even close. When we fall down, we miss the mark. Oh, we don't love you as we should or love others as we should. And Father, I thank you that you've laid out this great salvation in such a way that it can't be earned. You'll be a debtor to no man. But it can be received through faith. Thank you for that. And then in Christ, what a hope we have. This is amazing. And it will happen. We can be assured of that. That first promise of a Messiah, it took a while. This promise of the catching away of the bride of Christ, it's been a while. But we're a year closer, we're a day closer, a moment closer than we were before. Thank you that we get to see Jesus. I pray that our days will be lived in light of that. Thank you for comforting us, letting us know this is what happens when we die, letting us know about those in Christ who have gone on before us, and letting us know that we may not be together right now, but there'll be a day when there's going to be a meeting in the air, and we'll be there. Bless your people, Father. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let me get to the back, and you'll be dismissed.